Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 250. It's a big number.
Wow.
I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Yeah, I'm here.
And Fozzie.
Hello.
We don't know exactly where Jeff went, but Don is here.
Yeah.
Assuming Jeff has died, we're dedicating this episode to his memory.
Right. And that's how that's going to go. well, we've already kind of established, I guess, that Don doesn't pay any attention to the draft, so...
Yeah.
Nope.
Fozzie, are you happy with the Jags pick?
No.
No?
I feel like, listen, real quick, you had Leonard Williams from good old USC, who had over 20 sacks in his career. Then you have Fowler, who is a pass rushing specialist, but under 15 sacks. I understand that Fowler is a better mesh with the defense, but you had Leonard Williams, who is a traditional run stopper, who was not picked. I was very disappointed. But I can work with Fowler. We'll see. We'll see. Time will tell.
You guys might go from, like, what do you have, 3 wins this past year? 4 wins?
Listen, I think...
Maybe you have one more. Maybe this will get you one extra win.
I think we're going to be Super Bowl bound. I think we have the best tight end duo in the nation right now. You got Julius Thomas, Mercedes Lewis. Boom.
Short I'm sure pass. Julius Thomas is going to look great without Peyton Manning throwing him the ball.
All you have to do is throw fantastic. Three... You have to throw 3 to 10 yard routes. I mean, anyone can fucking do that.
Sure.
You don't need to be a superior QB for that.
Except Mark Sanchez.
Aww.
Easy.
This is a great podcast. I love this.
Mark Sanchez.
So the Eagles took a wide receiver, Don, so that should maybe help you guys.
That's good. You guys, I thought you were... Oh, you're a Miami fan, yeah, aren't you?
I am not a Eagles fan. I do enjoy people watching them, though. Because I live here,
gotcha.
So...
Gotcha.
The Dolphins also took a wide receiver, which they needed, so... I don't think that's going to help their situation all that much, so... And who knows what the Patriots are doing. Doesn't really seem to matter. They could pick people out of, like, the fifth round and still be
right.
Good, so...
Well, their top of the draft picks normally end up sucking. So...
Yeah.
I have no faith. So they trade down most of the time anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Right. So... But, yeah, so the draft is ongoing. I think it's almost over, the first round at least. Francis asked us if we'd have any draft talk, so there it is.
There it is. The draft is over, guys. Back to video games and beer.
Although I did get a notification from Yahoo that to register my team for this year.
Yeah.
I guess they opened up fantasy football.
Oh my god, already?
Fucking April. Yes. That season doesn't start for four months and a week.
Wow.
And already open on Yahoo.
That's
good
cool.
Stuff.
Yeah. Like, what do you what
start the league and sit there and stare at no numbers?
Like,
theoretical.
What do you do for 4 months in fantasy?
Good
you start
night.
Planning your opening day lineup. I really don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I won't register until like. A couple hours before my draft, so
right.
That's how I always roll that. Let's talk some games though. I know that Fozzie said he hasn't been playing much of anything.
Oh, I've got a couple games.
Oh, okay. Well, you said you hadn't played much of anything new.
Well, I lied to you.
Okay,
sir.
Well,
the alcohol is talking.
Let's see what you've been playing.
It's gotta be good.
Oh, now I'm put on the spot, but. I have been playing NBA 2K15, and something I haven't talked about yet is Final Fantasy Record Keeper.
Oh, that game's good, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm starting to like it a lot.
I'm starting to dislike it a lot.
Oh.
Oh. Fight.
Well,
go ahead.
I think Don has played a lot more than I have. I've just started to get into like the part where I'm starting to feel as powerful as the enemies, which is pretty nice. And yeah, it's pretty addicting. Like I forgot how much I love the music in the Final Fantasies.
Oh yeah,
it's so good. But yeah, the combat's starting to feel pretty nice. For the time being, I'm just putting on like auto kill, and at this point, I'm just racking up as many like new items. So the nice thing is like they give you a lot of like really basic items, but you know, you still feel powerful, which is nice.
So, explain to people what Record Keeper is.
Sure.
It's a mobile game. But
it's a mobile game on your cell phones. And I think the cool thing is that not only do they... You have what? Where was it? Final Fantasy 1 to 13? Or no, it's not up to 13. It's 10, right? Or do you go into 12?
Yeah, it's... well... I think the ones they have right now are 1, okay. 2, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 10.
Okay. So I have, I have 6, 7, and 10.
The big hits.
Sure.
Yeah. And so you play very specific battles in those specific games. So the nice thing is that it gives you kind of a plot for like major plot points in the game itself. And then you experience that, except... It's not obviously as detailed or as crazy complicated as the game itself, like the actual game, but it's like bite-sized. It's for the mobile device. It's clearly made for that. But yeah, it's a ton of fun. Right now I'm just trying to collect the characters as they go, but yeah.
Are you through all the main story missions, or?
Oh, no. No,
okay. What level are your main... Main
seven or eight.
Seven or eight, okay. Yeah, you're still I think I'm in the mid-30s right now. And it was great, but I think the reason I've slowed down is because I don't know. I feel like I'm putting it on auto all the time, and I don't like that very much. Like, you know, I'd like to have a little bit of a struggle. And once you get on Elite, it gets harder, but not, I don't know. I think the charm is just finally worn off on me, even though they're doing a great job by adding events every week for new characters, and that's great, but I think the charm's finally worn off on me a little bit. I've switched over to a different mobile game for the time being. I'm still having it on my phone, but... It's great though, man. The music is killer. That's one of the best parts about it is jiving to the music.
Yeah, sometimes you forget just how good the music was in the previous ones
because
it's been so long since you played them. But yeah, it's I mean, is this by Square Enix? I'm assuming so.
Well, Dena, D E N A or whatever, they're the ones
it's the partnership with Nintendo Company.
Right.
Oh, okay.
And they've got some other games out that are look interesting. There's a Marvel game out that I've been wanting to try out, but I've been playing Clash of Champions instead, so I don't want to overload my phone with too many games to play. Dena seems D-E-N-A. I don't know if it's Dena or what, but they seem like they know what to do there.
I think it's a capital D, small E, capital N, capital A. So it just might be DNA.
Yeah, I guess that would make sense.
I don't know though. So
it sounds cool. Let's roll with that.
So that I have it. I played a little bit of it. I liked what I played.
I was super high on this game for the first probably 3 weeks.
Yeah, you kept asking me, like, have you played it yet? Have you played it yet?
I mean, I was playing it hardcore, like, blew through all the opening levels, was playing through the events to get all the, you know, I've gotten Sephiroth, Tifa, Aerith, and I haven't quite finished the Celis event, but I think this is about time I'm starting to peter off. I was doing like one mission in the morning, like one series of missions in the morning, and then one series at night, and now I'm not doing that at all, so I don't know if I'm going to complete that event. I don't know, there's just not a lot of... on my mobile games, I like to have some friend interaction, you know? Mm. I like to have some PvP stuff. Not that I invest all my time in that, but like Marvel Puzzle Quest, you know, I kind of split it up half and half. But there was nothing. There was no sharing. There was no way to try and get your friends involved. I don't know. It was fun. It was great, but... the Japanese version has a ton of more characters, a ton of more items, but they don't have any of those features that I want in it. So I don't. That's why I don't see myself playing a ton right now.
But the story was worth playing through.
Yeah, it was fun, man. It was a lot of fun. So,
Fozzie, you keep us updated.
I will. Always.
It's a I tried to get into it, and like what I played was cool, but it just seemed like I needed to devote a little more time to it than just being able to like pop it on at my desk for a minute and play real quick.
I mean, it's a mobile game, and it kind of feels like that. It's definitely not something that you'll sink some significant hours in every day. I feel like it's a 30-minute game a day at best.
Yeah, it seemed like it like just the average play session, you needed a little more time than... Like, where I can sit at my phone and, like, boot up Crossy Road for, you know, a minute, and then I'm done, and I can go back to whatever I was doing. That takes a little bit more. Also, you need the sound on, because that's the best part of it.
Right. I miss the, that's what I miss about Marvel Puzzle Quest, because those matches are usually pretty quick. I could load one up at my desk, plow through one real quick while it was quiet at my desk, and then turn my phone off and go back to work, you know? You can't do that with Record Keeper or Clash of Champions or, you know, not many other mobile games that I've been playing.
Fozzie, what else have you been playing?
Oh, man. The only other thing is the Don't Starve Together beta. It's a lot of fun if you have someone else to play with, obviously. That game itself, has anyone else played... even like the Don't Starve single player?
Yeah.
It's I mean, it's a ton of fun. Especially with co-op, it's definitely puts it up there. I tried to play
City Skylines?
Yes, Skylines, there you go. I didn't put enough time into it, but from what it looks like the SimCity game we wanted.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Okay. I was concerned you were going to say something else.
Oh, no. Oh, it looks really good. What else? Honestly, I've not been playing that much recently in the past couple weeks. Anything new, at least. Nothing's really on. Except for The Witcher, that's kind of like the next thing I'm looking forward to.
Yeah.
Right, but anything else? I played Lethal League, which is a Steam game. You hit a ball and you keep hitting against their opponent, and it's a very nice co-op game, but that's about it.
Alright. Don?
Yeah?
Tell us about State of Decay.
Oh man, this is,
the Year One Survival Edition.
Yeah, this is what I was hoping. Did anybody play that? Oh, what was the name of it? How to Survive? On, either PC or Xbox One.
No, you did, though.
I did. And that's kind of what I thought this was going to be, kind of a survival game, and it's not. That game wasn't at all. This is very much a survival strategic. You're probably going to die before you finish the game type game.
Oh, but that's what's cool about it. It's like I don't know how far you've gotten, but I played probably about 20 or so hours on the 360 version back when it came out. There's like 60 hours of content in that game. If your main character dies, you just take on the role of another NPC in your group.
Yeah, that's what I loved about it. Like, I didn't know that. You know, I didn't know a lot before I went into this. I just, by seeing a few trailers, it looked like a fun little sandbox survival game with zombies, which is beautiful. Like, I like all of those things. So the first time I died, I went to one of the ladies at one point earlier in my gameplay session, and I did not like her mission, so I didn't decline it. I just kind of ignored her and went about my business, went and gathered more crap. And then I came back and finally I wanted to switch to her, and it said she was on a mission because she wanted to do that mission. So I went and finally I was like, you know what, fine, screw it, I'm going to go do the mission. So I went to go do the mission. The two of us trot off, and I'm sneaking through the woods, and I finally get to my destination, and there's a small horde back to the far right, but they're going the other direction. So I slowly walked up to where I needed to go. There was a couple zombies there. I killed them, but I just got swarmed. I got overran by zombies, and I was getting irritated because I knew I was about to die because she died. And as soon as I died, I set the controller down. I stared at the screen for a second, thinking it was going to take me back to the menu, because I expected this to be one of those games where once you're dead, you're dead.
Like GTA or...
Right. No, I figured it was going to take me back. Yeah,
dead.
Like, have to start all over, and this is three hours into the game.
Yes.
So, you know, I spent a lot of time, like, just running and searching these houses and gathering materials and upgrading my little fort that I have going on, and just really loving the game, and then I was about to get really pissed off. But it flipped me back to a different character. Like, she wasn't even part of my group before, I guess, either, because I didn't recognize the name at all. But it creates you a new survivor, and you know, you kind of start from scratch, but not really. Like, I lost all my cool gear and stuff, but you know, if I was stupid, I could go back to where I lost it and
yeah, I think you can actually go get that stuff back.
But I really did not want to face all those zombies, so.
But you also lose, so whatever experience you gain as the character you're playing, if they die, that goes with them. So
right,
yeah, you do start with whatever the new stats are with the new character.
Yeah, it's like it's fresh, but it's not fresh, you know. Which is good, because, you know, it's kind of more realistic in a way, but at the same time, it lets you keep going with your community that you're working on. I don't know, I'm like maybe I'm actually playing one of the different, like the Year One edition has two separate add-on contents that were on the PC. I've been playing, right now I'm playing, I think, Breakdown, or
is that the one with the kind of like the straight survival where it has different
yes.
difficulty levels?
Yeah, and that's what I'm playing right now, and it seems okay. Like, I like the other one more, the original, but it's a nice little change of pace. And then there's I played literally one game of not even a game. I quit like after 20 minutes. Of the other one, Lifeline, which you play as kind of like a military.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like that very much, to be honest with you.
I think you probably want to play through the main campaign first.
Yeah.
And then Lifeline might add something. Like, if you like the story of State of Decay, Lifeline might add a little bit more to that.
The story's okay. It's not... It's nothing...
It's typical. Generic zombie, you know what I mean? Stuff,
exactly.
But...
Exactly. So there's nothing like grabbing me about the story.
Right.
Like, whenever they pop up and ask me to do something, I don't actually care much. I'm more concerned about building my little group of people and trying to stay like top dog and keep everybody happy and make sure my resources are up there. And
now
it's pretty cool though.
I haven't played this yet, but you can now put supplies and stuff in a car.
I did not know that.
So evidently, like, they made it a little bit easier where you can now, like, I guess vehicles are kind of mobile storage units. Where before, like, if you went on a supply run,
awesome.
You just ran out and you had to, like, collect everything and whatever you could fit in your Like, yep. Rucksack is what you could bring back. But I think now you can actually, like, just pile stuff into the trunk of a car and bring that back and just
park it.
That's
amazing. Which, I will have to try that next time.
Which will definitely help in building your stuff
yeah,
up.
Because a lot of my time, a lot of my, like, 3 hours of the main story have been me running to a house, grabbing a rucksack, you know, filling up on other miscellaneous little things, and then in my backpack, and then heading back. Dropping off, and going to check the next house right next door.
Right, and it's, like, there's a day-night cycle, so, like, you kind of don't really want to be out at night.
Yeah.
It's a cool, interesting, kind of fun take on open world games and zombie games yeah. too.
Yeah, it is, and you know, like, so all the stuff you take back, like, get you influence that you can spend on, you know, whatever else happens to be stashed there. Like, you just kind of trade, so it's more like a barter system, like. So you kind of use your influence to buy items. Like, if a particular, like, you can run across other small groups, and if they have like a bunch of ammunition you need, you can buy it for an influence, which you gather by, you know, dumping off weapons and ammo and food and pain meds and whatever else. And so it's a really interesting take on the whole zombie survival game. You know, every other one seems to be like an online MMO type game, but this is a single player only.
Yeah, although I do kind of wish you could play it with like friends.
It'd be so much better. Like, just with one friend, you know, tag one friend along, yeah. You know, just have drop in, drop out co-op. You know, that'd be great.
I'm surprised they really haven't done that yet.
I think they're talking about that for the sequel. They've been talking about a sequel, if I remember right. Like,
yeah, there's.
I remember.
I don't remember exactly what the name is, but they're. It's actually not just a drop-in, drop-out co-op. It's more like a kind of a persistent world MMO type thing. But it would only be you wouldn't have like hundreds of people on there. It would just be like, you know, a select amount on each server.
Yeah. That's cool. As long as, like, you can turn off, like, friendly fire and stuff, you know?
Right. So you don't want people trolling
that's
you.
That's the problem is, like, yeah, like, the other zombie survival games, like, it sounds cool. Oh, God, that's your zombie horde. Back inside.
Run, Don, run.
Yeah. You know, it sounds like that'd be fun and all, but in this kind of game, like, I wouldn't want that at all.
Have you run, this is why I haven't started it yet either, though, is... In the original game, time continued to pass while you weren't playing, and if you ignored playing for too long, when you came back to your game, like, things would have changed. People might have died.
What do you mean?
Like, it's kind of like Animal Crossing. Where
no, I haven't noticed that at all.
Time continues to roll. Like, as long as you're kind of playing daily, and it just came out this week, so I do wonder if, like, you were to sit it down and, like, today and not play it again until Tuesday or Wednesday next week, if you'd come back and just shit would have just been on fire. Like,
oh, that's nuts, man.
Right, which, like,
I
ended up not playing for like, a couple weeks, and I came back and... All my favorite characters were dead, and like, this is not fun. And like, I didn't want to start over at that point because I already put 20 hours in, so I just kind of stopped playing. But that's an interesting concept, though.
Yeah, it is. I don't think I would like it anymore, but yeah.
Yeah, that would probably ruin it for me too.
I'd probably turn it on, see that, and be like, "Fuck this," and turn it off.
Just keep playing.
That's all I do. I have too many other games to play to put up with that kind of crap.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of like what happened with Animal Crossing with me. It's like, you, like, pop it back on, and, like, everyone's angry at you, and your city looks like shit, and to clean it up, you have to go around picking all the weeds. Like, I don't have time for this, so.
I don't have time to babysit that game anymore. Like, I stopped playing, sadly, but.
Right, so, I do wonder, I mean, you haven't run into it yet, so I am wondering if that's still there, because I don't have the time to kind of devote a whole lot of time to it. But I would like to play more of it. It was fun when I did play it. Tony, tell us about Far Cry 3.5.
I think there's a different number attached to it, but I decided to start playing Far Cry 4, I don't know, on a whim, because I wanted to try it. I like it. I like it a lot more than Far Cry 3, which I completely lost interest in about 2 hours into the game. I feel like this one opens up sooner. The opening parts of the story is only about maybe 20 minutes long, and then you're just kind of left with this world where you can roam and go wherever you want, and it feels kind of like Skyrim in that respect, with the mountains and like going out and doing whatever you feel like doing. I will say I did miss the bow, which is a couple of missions in. So when I first started playing, I started wandering the countryside. I'm trying to like kill animals to craft stuff. And then when you get the bow, you realize that you can kill them without damaging the carcasses and get like twice as much crafting supplies. But once I did that, it got a lot more fun. And I really like the bow for killing people too. Like sneaking through outposts and killing everyone with the bow. Very entertaining.
Bows are amazing in every game.
Like you shoot somebody with the arrow and then you go up to their corpse and take the arrow out. You shoot the next person with the same arrow.
retain your ammo.
Yeah. It did remind me that I like to pretend that I'm good at stealth. I'm still not very good at stealth. As I roamed my way through one of the bases, they did see me. Like there were like 11 guys in the base, and I killed the first three. I'm like, haha, and then one of them saw me.
You're like, oh no,
hide. And somehow the elephant that was there got loose and killed everyone, and I didn't have to do anything, which was kind of strange.
Nice.
That was something that was kind of cool about Far Cry 3, is just the random stuff that would happen. Like, it's like, I didn't intend for that to happen, but it's great that tiger got out and killed everybody.
Right. The eagles are annoying. I don't know why they're in the game. They don't add a whole lot.
The eagles are the worst thing fucking ever.
I don't understand why they thought that was a good gameplay mechanic.
It was the worst.
What are
the eagles?
Yeah.
Well, okay, you randomly walk along, yeah, and an eagle will come and attack you.
Just randomly?
Just randomly.
Wow. Mention it's not like something where you get hit and you can keep running. It's like a whole event. Like, you look at the eagle coming at you. You do a quick time event that you'll never do. And then you get injured by it. And then the worst part is you can hear it before and after. You hear this, like, you know, this little, like, squeak, like this eagle, like, and I'm like, oh, shit.
The eagle's here.
The eagle,
yeah,
coming from. Yeah, exactly. And then he just comes at you because, like, it doesn't give you, like, 5 to 10 seconds to take your gun out. You're just looking at the eagle while it's coming at you.
You can't do anything.
And you can't stop this event from happening. It just happens. Even if you have full health.
But why is the eagle attacking you?
That's what I don't understand. I don't get why the eagle...
Apparently, like, you killed eagles in your past life or something, but, yeah, the eagle really hates you for some odd reason.
I don't know what I've done to this eagle to deserve this punishment.
No, exactly,
it's pretty insistent that I deserve whatever it is.
I can understand where they're coming from. It's like, okay, let's add this new mechanic in, but... Because honestly, Far Cry 4 is more or less Far Cry 3, just in a different area, different atmosphere. But I guess the eagle was their kind of their way of saying, "Hey, we've got something different here." But it really did not work at all. It's really dumb. Yes, it gets you like on your feet for that 5 to 10 seconds. The fact that it's so hard to kill, or you can't even shoot in the air while you're in this event situation. You just have to watch it come at you and, like, ravish you for 15 seconds. It just kind of takes away from the game itself.
Yeah.
There you go.
I do like the story more. It's not as intrusive, which I think helps with this kind of game.
Yeah, the story in 3 was... I know Jeff loved it, but... there was something off about it.
It didn't make any sense, for one.
Yeah, it's not great. And this one, like, the endings actually do mean a lot, kind of how you, like, endings are really cool. Nothing you'd expect, I guess. And the main character, although I really liked the main character, or not really the main character, but the main bad guy in Far Cry 3, Oz, or,
yeah.
He's great. But, yeah, Pagan Min's really cool, too, so they just act differently. Voss was kind of more, or Voss, he was kind of more sadistic, while Pagan Min was like a guy you'll never anticipate to snap. You don't know when he's going to snap, and he just had this very, like, evil way about him.
But they're both good. That's like really on display in the opening to that game, like right after the bus crashes, and like the guy's like he's like kind of like groveling at him, and Pegan Min kind of just like gives him a little, oh, it's all right, and then kills him
with a right. pen. Yeah. He stabs to death with a pen.
Anything else about that, Tony?
I need to play more. I'm having a lot of fun with it, so.
I need to get to that at some point. Well, speaking of, I guess, open world first person games, I played some of the Elder Scrolls Online Tamriel Unlimited on the Xbox One over the weekend in the beta. And I was not expecting it to really be like an Elder Scrolls game, but it is.
Interesting.
When I first played it, I was like, you know, that opening area is always hit or miss with an Elder Scrolls game, and this one just really kind of just throws you in. And it's the tutorial area did not click with me. And Don had asked me, I guess he had saw me playing, and he was like, "How you liking?" I'm like, "I don't know. It's okay, I guess." But then once the world opens up, it's actually pretty cool, and.
Alright.
Yeah, and it kind of plays like you would expect, like an Elder Scrolls game to play, like, you know, Oblivion, Skyrim. The story is really kind of simplistic, but the gameplay is exactly what you want out of it. Like, it's that, you know, you attack something, you gain experience for attacking it with your two-handed sword, so, like, your points will go up in there, or... if you kill something with a bow and arrow, you'll get points in archery. It's just like the system that was in Skyrim. I don't remember the Oblivion system. I think it was the same.
Oblivion system.
Kind of the same. I don't know if you got.
Yeah,
to
similar. Shoot. Not exactly the same.
Yeah, like this still has the. The sky, like when you level up, say you're like two-handed. You know, your two-handed weapon, you gain points to then spend in two-handed weapons and, you know, buy skills there, kind of like you did in Skyrim, or perks, or whatever they called them. And it all works exactly the same. And I was surprised, because I was kind of I thought I saw screens of it being a third-person game. But I played the entire time in that beta in first-person, and it worked perfectly. Like, just awesome. Like I wanted it to work. I don't know if, like, that game comes out, like, June 9th. I don't know if I will get it right away. But I might get it, like, you know, after a sale or something. And then just kind of toy with it. It's something.
I'm kind of happy to hear that it's a lot more Elder Scrolls-y than...
I was expecting something more along the lines of, like, Neverwinter.
Right, right.
Like... Which is fine, it's just, it's a different, they're very different styles of play. Neverwinter's kind of more traditional MMO. And this still has the people running around, like, you see the other people on the server with you. And there are, you get that point where, you know, the quest giver, everyone is gathered around them, and it kind of has this weird, think, but I was able to play it completely on my own. I do assume that, like, once you get higher level, like, the there's probably like end game content that are like raids or something, the equivalent of that, and you'll need to play with other people, but it looks like you could play through this mostly on your own, like definitely through the main campaign.
I've played through a lot of Neverwinter by myself.
Right. And I mean, playing Neverwinter with you was great, but
yeah.
How many times do we get the chance to actually sit down and play Neverwinter together?
Exactly.
So, like, if you want to be able to get the most of it, you want to be able to play it by yourself, and this looks like it's totally achievable that way. And I liked it. It was fun. It's not the best-looking game on the system. It kind of still has that Bethesda open-world jankiness to it, but...
Yeah.
I mean, it's not... The visuals are a little bit smoother, kind of like, I guess, if you played Skyrim on the PC. But it's not a beautiful game by any means. There are better looking games on the PS4 and Xbox One. It's fun though, and you only have to pay for the disc now, I think. So
yeah,
there's that. I don't know, let's stick with first-person shooters. Don, tell us about Borderlands, the pre-sequel.
I've only played a little bit. Like, me and my wife started a character, and then neither one of us were happy because they, you know, pretty much, like, gave us 2 minutes to create our character real quick in co-op. And so we quickly just picked a character based on looks and had no idea what we were getting into, and played for, like, an hour, and ended up starting over tonight with characters that we'd done a little research on, and it's a lot more enjoyable now. But there's also, you know, I don't know, we just ran across like one of the worst boss fights I've ever experienced in a Borderlands game.
Which have some pretty shitty boss fights.
Yeah, there was a ton of vertical gameplay, and one thing Borderlands does not do well is platforming or of any sort. You know, there's always times where you got to find like six of these things, and they're scattered all over the place,
right,
and they're in these real screwy places. And in all the Borderlands games, it's always the worst part, but you do them anyway and get over it and move on to more fun things like shooting things. But this boss fight was just one of the worst. Like, my frustration level was going through the roof. So it doesn't help that we were playing split screen, so we had half the screen.
Right.
And it was a very other than that, like the new skills, like I'm playing as Athena the Gladiator, and her it's Borderlands.
Alright.
It's more Borderlands. They added, you're on, like, some other planet, so oxygen is scarce. I don't understand the point of it.
You're on the moon above Pandora, I think.
Right. And, so you have to go in these little pockets for air. It doesn't add anything to the gameplay. It's just
Sonic the Hedgehog
stupid.
2? Like, the water level?
Yeah. Eventually they give you an oxygen, what I would equate
oxygen
to an oxygen shield. So as you're running around, instead of your health depleting, there's this little oxygen tank that's depleting, and it's not actually, it's called like an oxy, what's it called, hon?
Oxygen mask.
No, I don't know what it's called, but it's, I don't know, it just seems like they were trying to make it different. Gravity is different, so you can jump and kind of float through the air and smash down into the ground, which is that part's kind of cool, I guess. But I don't know. It seems like more Borderlands with strange little tacked on part, some new characters, no tiny
Borderlands.
Yeah. So, yeah. It's okay.
I don't sound... That doesn't sound interesting at all.
You know, Borderlands 2 was my game of the year, the game it came out. This would not be in my game of the year list from last year, based on my hour and a half-ish with it.
You guys going to play more of it, though?
Oh, yeah, we're going to play more. I mean, you know, it's our couples game. So we're going to play through it and beat it and go back to Diablo, a better game.
Diablo.
We actually, you know, we started, we took a long break from that game. I won't talk long about this, but so the first time we played through on easy, got our character up to 70. Second time we played through on easy hardcore, got our character to 70. We're playing through a third time, and we bumped it up to hard, and it was a little more fun. And then finally, we're like level 40-ish now, and about mid-30s, I think. I finally said, we loaded up the game, and I bumped it over to elite. It's a lot more fun.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, well, so, and you'll gain experience way quicker, too.
Oh, yeah, we're leveling up like crazy, man.
Yeah.
The enemies are worth more at the higher levels.
It's a lot more fun. Like, on easy, it's kind of, I mean, oh, my God. Even on normal, it's just incredibly easy.
It's mind-numbing, actually.
Like, it is extremely, like, I will fall asleep playing the game. But we've bumped it up to elite, and it's a lot more fun. I'm kind of excited to finish up these and start playing through, like, some of the, what do you call them, the expert levels, or...
Right, yeah. Once you get past the torment,
That's it.
That's what they call it now. They changed it a couple times at this point. So, there's like five or six levels of torment. So, it's fun. I went back and played some Conker's Big Reunion after last week.
Ayo.
I liked it. I don't know if I liked it as much as Jeff did, but.
Not here to defend it. Right. So, ha!
I mean, it's okay. Like, I mean, as he said, there's three different sections. The best one was probably the first one I went to, which was the brewery. And that was kind of more of a straight platforming area. The second area is this kind of static first-person shooting gallery where the teddies are coming at you and you're trying to take them out. And then there's a boss fight that is terrible. It's just awful. It's funny because you have to, you kind of stun them. You throw something at them and it stuns them. And then you run out and you take your frying pan and you hit the dude in the balls. and then he like knocks you back and you have to do it all over again. It's just like any other, 3D platformer you ever played. You have to do that three times. But as you play, as like each form after each ball hit that you do, he gets harder and you have less.
Balls get harder. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just a pain in the ass. Like
what?
I thought the battle was just terrible and his balls are really hard to hit. And then there's this stealth section, which was okay. I don't know what Jeff was talking about, though. He said, like, there weren't a lot of references in, like, about an hour or so of the gameplay. There's tons of references. Like, that entire stealth section is a Metal Gear Solid reference.
Really?
Like it starts out, and he's like, you get in a barrel, and, like, you're kind of, like, waddling in this barrel, like, so you can't be seen. And as soon as you do it, like he stops and he makes a comment. He's like, "Oh, I guess there were no cardboard boxes lying around." Like, and he makes Metal Gear Solid jokes the entire time you're going through. It's like I don't know what Jeff was talking about. There's a Ghostbusters reference. There's tons of like they're not like big elaborate references, but like. The dialogue is definitely referential to pop culture and probably more so that era of pop culture too. Like people that played Banjo-Kazooie, they would find a Metal Gear Solid joke funny or so. I don't think my son would get anything out of playing it. I'm not sure I would let him play it. It's not that there's any like I think it's rated T for teen and not that like.
Really?
Smacking a giant creature in the balls is, like, I mean, it's a cartoon ass. Like, I mean, it's funny, kind of. But there's no, like, bad language or anything, really. Like, not like in, I guess, Conker's Bad Fur Day, which Fozzie would be able to speak better to.
Yes.
But it's just, like, I don't know if, like, he wouldn't get the jokes, so it's, like, I don't see what he would get out of this game, because it's definitely a throwback to that era of game making. And we passed that by. Like, it's not bad. I had fun with it, but I wouldn't want to play a, you know, 10-hour game based on that. I'm kind of glad that they're releasing this in segments. Like, it's going to be episodic, and we'll get, like, a new hour of it every couple months or whatever. I'm okay with that, because I don't want to play a 10-hour game of Conker. I know that makes Jeff really sad, but I
think I'd be more disappointed that it's not a rated immature game. I mean, Conker was, you know, that was one of those iconic, you know, and of course I was a adolescent male at the time it came out.
I wonder if
you're still an adolescent,
young adult,
male,
you know.
Let's not.
I do want, like, outside of, like, I don't know, Fozzie, like, Don, you played it, right? Like,
yeah.
Was there, like, did they use, like, did he curse? Did he say fuck and stuff like that in it, or was that kind of beeped out?
I don't remember. It's been a long time.
I don't remember either. Wow.
I'm just wondering if maybe that game, like, at that time, like, the humor and the people doing the reviews on that stuff were like, oh no, this is an M-rated game, but much like ratings now for, like, movies and stuff, just like that is, it's become a little bit more lax, where something that would have been rated R is now PG-13.
Yeah.
In the theaters, so.
I guess. That's a good point.
It's like, I don't know. I did not play the original, either of the Conker games, so I don't have that love for it. But I thought the humor was quite funny. It's irreverent. Like, it seemed to fit what Jeff has told me about the series. I don't think he paid a whole lot of attention while playing it, though. there are a lot of like references and stuff to popular culture in there. Let's see. I got three more games on this list here. Tony, tell us about Age of Wonders 3, the expansion I don't know the name to.
I have the name of the Eternal Lords expansion. They added to the game, and this is a game that at launch I was pretty lukewarm about, and then they did an expansion, the Golden Realms, which made me like it a lot more. So this is the second major expansion, and it adds the Necromancer faction to the game and, like, a Necromancer quest line. It's really fun. Unlike, like, Civilization has gotten into this rut where you add a new civilization and they get their unique units and they have, like, maybe a stat bonus or whatever, but it plays exactly like other civilizations. This plays differently from any other civilization in the game.
Okay.
So, you have your undead city. Its population is fixed. In order to grow, you need your population to go up.
You have to kill things.
You have to kill things.
That's pretty cool.
When you fight battles, your city's populations grow up.
Nice.
Because people die in the battle, and they join your civilization because they're dead.
That is pretty awesome.
That's really cool.
And it's really smart, too. Like, that's a smart way of handling that.
You can also get people to volunteer to join your civilization, even though they're alive. And they drink from this thing called Rebel of Life, and then they become undead.
Nice.
Yeah, so lots of, like, really cool undead stuff going on. The interesting, you can't heal your units. Like, and the other alive civilizations, if one of your units gets damaged in battle, over time it will heal. Undead, not so much. They just kind of, you know, tape it on, they're good. So you have to, like, kill things in order to heal. And it gives a new cool way of playing the game. And, of course, since you're undead, everyone hates you. They're like, you're cursed, you're evil, and all. Whenever you're having diplomatic relations with another civilization, they automatically are like, we're not talking to you, we're at war with you.
But so, no, we're nice necro people.
Sure. We don't want to, you know, kill everyone in your civilization so that they join ours. It's totally not how this works. But yeah, another fun expansion.
Cool.
Definitely worth playing if you have Age of Wonders 3.
That actually sounds like something to keep an eye on, so. Don, you said you were going to download Puzzles and Dragons for 3DS.
Oh, I did, and I played, like, the introduction, and it's Puzzle and Dragons.
Is that the one with Mario in it, or?
It is, and the demo is of the Mario edition, so I guess the cool part is, you know, seeing how they adapt everything to the Mario universe.
Right.
It's real neat and clever, and how they, you know, instead of fire, you get a fire flower on the screen, and, you know, you get a lot out of the screenshots on how it is, but, you know, gameplay other than that is exactly like Puzzle and Dragons.
Still matching yep. stuff. And
it's going to be interesting to see how they change it from a free-to-play game to a regular game. That's where I'm going to be, and I don't think I'm going to see that in the demo. But, you know, the main thing with Puzzle and Dragons is the, whenever I played it hardcore for like 6 months, was the, you know, the events, you know, the PvP, no, you couldn't PvP in that one. It was the, yeah, just the events and taking a buddy in with you and, you know, using your friend's monster as a support and just stuff like that, that I don't think they're going to be able to take advantage of in this. And, but we'll see. I'm going to get it at launch. I'll probably end up buying it, day of. So
we'll hear more about that later.
Oh yeah.
All right. Last game I have on the list is, Assassin's Creed Chronicles China. Which I think I talked a little bit about last week. It's a 2.5D side-scrolling platformer action game set in the Assassin's Creed universe. You play as Xiao Jun. She is the Wikipedia page says she was trained by Ezio. Ezio shows up very briefly at the start of the game, and then kind of exits, and then the story makes God no sense at all. it's like nonsensical. It's like you're killing people because they're bad. They're Templars, and that's what assassins do. And really, I didn't care, because the rest of it was, the gameplay is just so much fun. They really do a good job of translating that Assassin's Creed feel, specifically like the assassin part of being able to kind of stalk people and, you know, hide behind things and get the guards as they're coming by, and it works really well in like this 2.5D thing where, you know, you hide in a doorway, the guy comes by, you press the button, kill him. Combat works a little bit better than the main game. It's not just kind of counter, 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 strike, and now the guy dies. there's a little bit more to it than that, where you're still blocking a lot. Except unlike in I just got done playing 4 and the kind of expansion to 4. And it was like they would almost choreograph when they were going to attack to you. Like you would know when to press the button. And it made combat almost, like, brainless. Like, you just reacted to things. And in Chronicles, like, you're kind of, there's no tell on the screen for you to press the button. You actually have to look for the animation of them getting ready to swipe at you, and then it kind of works against my instincts because you have to press into the attack and the block button to do a successful block. And she's not like this super strong person either, so she only has 3 like health bars, or at least that's all I got during the game. So you don't want to get into like taking hits, because 3 hits she's dead. But combat was really satisfying. It was a lot of fun, and I just like the traversal. It captures Assassin's Creed, but it does it in, like, this kind of 2.5D approach. The puzzles were fun. They're mostly like kind of environmental puzzles where you're trying to figure out how to get by the guards and not take damage, or it's just really, really good. I think it's $10.
That's not bad.
Yeah,
I have to try that.
There's going to be it took me about, I don't know, maybe like five and a half hours to play through it. Tony will get it and play through it in like 2.5, and
yep. Be like, Chris, right. This was not hard at all.
I didn't find it hard.
Scoff like, at your 5.5 hours.
My entire playthrough is up on YouTube. So I just happened to like play around with the streaming and the editing on Twitch, so it's all up there. But like, there were levels that took me like about 40 minutes, and then there's levels that take me like under 10. So it's just a matter of how like you hit them, and I got stuck on a couple that were just kind of like getting a little frustrating to me. But most of the time, I would cheese my way out of the combat, or I would. If you guys ever played early Metal Gear games where you would alert the guard and they would go searching for you, that happens here, but because it's 2.5D and because she has the ability to climb on things, like, you alert a guard and you can escape combat by like jumping out the window, shimmying down on like the part where she can climb and going around the corner, and then they can't see you anymore, and then they keep looking for you for about 10 seconds, and then they go back to, just like in Metal Gear, walking their familiar path, and then you can kind of re-tackle that situation again. I assume people better at the game would not do that, but but like when I got in a problem, like that's how I, like, especially after like banging my head against it a couple times, like, this is getting a little bit annoying for me. I'm just gonna hide for a second and kind of catch my breath and regroup. The best missions though are the ones where you're just running through the environment. It's like you're trying to escape a fire or catch somebody, and it's all about speed and precision platforming, and it's just a lot of fun. There's this slide attack where you come up on a guard and you slide down and you press the attack button, and it'll just like chop them in half. And the art style is really cool because it's this like painting type thing. If you guys like remember the promotional material for Street Fighter 4, like that kind of like fluid like painting come to life view of it, like that's kind of what they got going on here. And I really like it. It's a lot of fun. It'll probably be my game for April. So. All right, let's hit up some news. There was some.
Oh yeah, there was.
which do we want to hit first, Konami or Bethesda and Valve?
Did you guys see the video, or not video? It's like a GIF, I guess. I saw on Twitter a couple different days of a cat sitting on a table, swiping Konami ideas off the table. Like, no, fuck that. Nope. All right, especially this thing. Fuck that thing.
More cat.
Let's talk Konami first.
I saw that again today, which made me laugh the second time in a row.
So, I guess reports leaked earlier in the week that, maybe like Sunday or Monday, that Silent Hills might be in trouble. And then it came out that it's officially, it's not just in trouble, it's done. It was canceled. And then they followed that up with a stock delisting on the New York Stock Exchange, and everyone thought the sky was falling.
Which is hilarious.
Yeah, because the two are... They're completely unrelated.
Yeah,
they're unrelated events. They don't have anything to do with each other, but...
It's something like 99.7% of Konami's stock is traded somewhere other than the New York Stock Exchange, which is why it was delisted.
Right. It costs something like $5 million to keep your company on the New York Stock Exchange for the year or something like that. So this just saved them money. And they're still being traded here, just over the counter, not like on a individual listing. So, but it had nothing to do with Silent Hills, has nothing to do with the Kojima shit that's going on. But everybody was like, oh my God, what's going on with Konami? And my personal opinion is I think this is just where they've been going for the last few years. Is they're kind of taking a step back from games because it's not their primary business.
It also wouldn't blame me for them to take a step back from Kojima, who has
been their company. Like,
not just been their company, but he's been nuts for the past couple of years.
Oh, yes.
It's been really hard to deal with all that controversy around what happened with what's the stupid fighting game with the dumb name? Revengeance.
Yes.
Where they made an entire game and then had to take it away and give it to another company to make because Kojima couldn't finish it.
All right, that did. Like, he was originally working on that, and then they had to give it to the Bayonetta guys.
Yeah, I mean, I can't blame them for thinking that, you know, maybe this guy shouldn't be making games now.
And I just, like, his games have to cost a ton of money.
Yeah.
Money that they really don't want to be spending in the game space, I think, for the return they get.
Right.
I don't know. Like, Silent Hills, that the PT game, the trailer or whatever it was, that was pretty cool. But I don't think Silent Hills was going to be that game. And remember the last time Kojima was attached to a non-Metal Gear game? That was Castlevania. And
oh, no.
Yeah, that was Lords of Shadow and Lords of Shadow 2, and that series is all but buried now. I thought Lords of Shadow was okay.
Yeah, it was fine. I enjoyed it, but I stopped playing it after a while because there was just too much game there.
Just a 20-hour Castlevania game. I don't know. What do you guys think? Like, I don't even know where to go with this. Like, I don't think it's as big a news story as everybody wants to make it out to be.
Yeah, I mean, I think just because of the name itself, it makes it a bigger story than it should be, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, Konami does have a ton of awesome properties that they are literally sitting on.
I mean, not to mention that, like, all this news with Konami has happened the past 2 weeks, and just right back to back, so.
Oh, sure. I do question the people that kept saying that Silent Hills was basically, like, it was their ticket to print free money.
Right.
Like,
sure.
Silent Hill as a franchise has not had a million sellers since the PS2. Like, and I think that was Silent Hill 2 or Silent Hill 3. It has not, it was never a huge series either. Like, what were you going to say, Don?
Oh, I was just going to say, I mean, I think the last Silent Hill game I played was okay. And I think it was on PSP.
Which one was that?
I don't remember. That's why I, whenever I started to say something, I just stopped.
But was it the top down one, or
no? That was on the Vita. That game was pretty fun, though. I don't consider that a Silent Hill game, but
no,
and I didn't play it very much. But
it was okay. It was basically Diablo, though.
Yeah.
Was it Shattered Memories? Was it the weird first person game?
No. I don't remember.
That was on PSP, too.
That could have been it.
That was a decent game, but nobody played it. So
yeah, that might be it then.
Yeah, it's like I looked up the numbers on VG charts, which isn't the most reliable
no.
source, but they're generally fairly close. Maybe not with the more modern stuff, but like after numbers come out, they're able to kind of get that stuff together. Like it doesn't look like that series has had a million seller since like Silent Hill 2 or 3. And even then, like it wasn't like 2, 3, 4 million copies. It was like one. So
one copy.
Know. Right. And I don't know, like I get people were kind of excited because Guillermo del Toro was attached to this as well. But he doesn't have a really strong track record with video games, so.
Right. In fact, he's like the curse. If you put him on your game, like, he was with
THQ.
Right before they died. They're yep. like, we're going to bring in, he's going to save us.
Yep, they were going to make that insane. And that guy can't.
yeah.
THQ it's all gone. Literally died. they disappeared after that. Yeah, this guy, maybe don't let him touch video games.
No.
All right. So that's Konami. I don't think it's as big a story as everybody wants to kind of make it out. This one though, this is a pretty big story. Bethesda and Valve and the Skyrim paid mod fiasco.
Oh.
So to lay this out, I guess on Friday of a week ago now, Valve Bethesda announced that they were rolling out a program to allow for modders to get payment for their services for mods. They rolled it out with a game that's 4 years old, though, 3 or 4 years old, with Skyrim. So it already has like a robust modding community. Shit went south real quick on a variety of levels. Modders were angry because the split was... They were getting 25% of the take for the mods, where Valve gets a flat 30 for all, like anything on this in this program. Valve gets 30%. Then the rest is actually set by Bethesda, or the publisher.
Right.
So Bethesda was like, "Well, we want 45% of the remaining 75%."
Right. To be fair, the 25% amount is industry standard.
I'm not arguing with it, but
yeah.
modders were angry about it, so they felt that it should have been, you know, a more fair split for them. But whatever. And then on the other end of that, you have all the people that are like, well, I don't want to pay for mods. Like, I've never had to pay for mods. Why am I going to pay for mods in Skyrim, a game I've already been playing for 3 years? This is stupid. And they kind of revolted. And then Bethesda and Valve promptly took it down.
They caved.
Yeah. Very quickly. Valve did say that they're going to kind of tweak it, come back and work on a like new game. I think it would have to be a new game.
It has to be a new game, but it also has to be a new game that people will actually play.
You know what game would, and maybe it doesn't work because it's already out, but City Skylines seems like...
Right, would have been perfect for this. Absolutely perfect.
Like, roll that out with this. There's actually a Maxis artist, or an ex-Maxis artist, who worked on SimCity. He's actually... he has set up a Patreon, and he is creating mods for the game based on the Patreon.
Nice.
Where it's like, you know, if he gets X amount of dollars, like, he'll build this building or whatever. So, like, I don't think there's anything wrong with people getting paid for their mods. It's
right.
just, it's like, kind of crazy that you're going to do it with Skyrim.
Yeah, I think they rolled it out really poorly, but I have a really hard time seeing the arguments for people who are against this, like, flatly against it. Because a lot of people could care less that it was Skyrim. It was just that mods should be free.
Yes.
And I don't want this to exist because I want this stuff for free.
Well, and it's it is kind of funny because this is always one of the arguments that when you hear people talk about, everything's better on PC. Oh, PC doesn't have like this DLC stuff. It doesn't have doesn't get into that like the nonsense of the microtransactions and it has mods and they're all free. It's like, well, not anymore.
Right. Yeah, that's my mindset. And I don't game on PC, so it's hard for me to really take a stance. But I don't know. I could see both sides of it. I mean, on the one side, most people do say, you know, hey, man, I play on PC. You know, everything looks better. You know, there's free mods for practically every game on the market.
And this doesn't take those free mods away, though. Like,
gotcha. Just, okay.
Like, you have to opt into it.
So not everything is paid. I mean, so every Skyrim, once, I guess I don't understand the full situation either, but once this was opted in on Skyrim's behalf, so every mod became a paid mod.
It's the modder. It's up to the modder whether they want to charge for it or not.
The modder had to
opt
into it, which, you know, there were some...
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
There were some curation issues with the fact, I guess the first mod they put up was not put up by the actual modder. It was put up by somebody else who was taking credit for it, and they had to rip it. There was like weird, like, I'm stealing your mods shit going on, and it was poorly rolled out. But
very, very poorly rolled out.
I like the idea.
I do too. I think people who make this stuff should get paid for it if they can sell it.
Right.
I thought it was one of those. You know, I didn't know the whole story, so. But now that I know the whole story, you know, I don't see why there should be a problem with it.
Yeah, like if, like, because you don't have to pay for it if you don't want to pay for it. And
right. Oh my God. Sorry.
That's right, Don. You have a choice.
No, I didn't. I did. I took the wrong turn. But yeah.
I hope this works out. Maybe pick a different game.
Yeah. And they will. They're going to try it with something else.
Because from what I've heard, like I guess Valve has kind of done this with their games already, like with Dota. Like, you can create stuff on the workshop and sell it.
Right. Team Fortress 2. There are people who make a living selling maps.
That's exactly like that's their job. Is they do maps, they do hats, they do items for Dota. Like, it's crazy. There are people out there willing to pay for this stuff, and, you know, fine. If you're going to make, you know, Fallout 4 better for those that want to use mods, sure. Why not get paid for it a little bit?
Oh, Fallout 4, I can't wait.
Might hear about it on...
It needs to happen.
Might hear about it on June 14th.
Needs to happen.
It's a month and a half away.
Oh, I know. I need to put my vacation in now.
You excited?
I am.
I am. All right, let's see. I got three more things on my news list here. Which do we want to talk about first? Gears of War, Destiny, or Call of Duty?
Gears of War. What's going on with that?
They're making a remaster.
Oh, no. That's not surprising at all.
Right?
Why is that news? What are you doing to me, Chris?
Got
me all excited.
Well, there's not a lot of information out there, just that this exists. Microsoft hasn't confirmed it, but there are screenshots out there of this product. I'm hoping that they are not just going, we're going to release Gears of War 1, or like remastered to work on the Xbox One, and not release the other two games. I think that it needs to be it needs to be all three of them. You could skip Judgment, but it needs to be the three core Gears games. I don't want to pay $40-$50 bucks for Gears 1. In fact, I probably won't, but... Actually, I
don't know. I felt like I burned myself on the Halo collection. I'm sorry, I did not get my enjoyment out of that.
Oh, did you hear about the tournament they were running this past weekend?
Yeah, they had to... They're running the Halo Championships, and I guess this is season 2, and they had to cancel an entire round or crown or something of it because
connectivity issues.
Yeah, they're having connectivity issues now.
Nice.
Now, 343 didn't come out and say whether those connectivity issues were Master Chief Collection related or if there was something else going on. Cause, I mean, I haven't had any problems with Master Chief Collection in months now, but that doesn't mean they don't happen. But Don, you don't like Halo, it seems.
No. I don't know. I don't. I'm sorry. I tried. I legitimately tried.
I don't know what to say to you.
I know.
It was legitimate rape.
I tried. It's not one of those things, you know, for the longest time I was like, nah, Halo sucks, but I never played it, really, so I took that back. And I don't think it sucks, it's just not for me.
Alright.
I'll take my Battlefield-ish games. I say ish because Hardline was not Battlefield. But
but yeah, I feel that we'll probably hear more about this Gears of War remaster at E3.
I'll try it.
You've never played a Gears game, have you?
No, nope. New to that one too.
I mean, I really like Halo too, though. So
yeah,
I really like Gears. Gears is really
good. There's a chance I might like Gears more. I don't know.
The third-person shooter.
That sounds all right. It sounds more, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. I don't know. If it's a collection of the games, I will be more likely to get it. In fact, if it's a collection of the games, I can guarantee you that I know people that will buy an Xbox for it. Because they play Gears 3 on a nightly basis.
Still?
Yeah.
Nice.
They I can go on, and I have 4 or 5 friends on my friends list that every night they get on around 11 o'clock. I don't know how they do it. They play till like 2, 3 in the morning every night. Of course, they're lawyers and can show up at work at noon, so or later. Assholes.
Nice.
All right, so Destiny or Call of Duty?
I picked last time. Somebody else picked.
Wait, what?
News, Destiny, or Call of Duty?
Oh, okay. Just the news in general. Destiny.
All right. So they what's it called, Don? House of Wolves.
Yeah.
The House of Wolves expansion is coming the same day as The Witcher 3, which just seems stupid to me.
Kind of stupid, yeah.
But it is coming, and they revealed the Trials of Osiris PvP mode this last week, which really made me sad. It is a three-man team. It's a PvP mode where you're on a team of three against two other teams, so it's a nine-player PvP mode. The matches are 2 minutes long, and there is no respawns. So if you go down, your teammate has to revive you.
Okay.
So they're real quick matches, like really quickly done. It's kind of like what's the 3-on-3 mode they have, Don?
God, I can't remember the name of it.
Skirmish, is that it?
Yes, that's
Skirmish,
it.
Yeah. So it's like the 3-on-3, but it's 3-on-3-on-3, so...
Sounds fun.
Yeah.
Like Battlefield Bad Company 2 had Squad Deathmatch.
Yeah, something like that.
Great time.
And these are evidently, like, really quick matches, too. Like, there's, like, a 2-minute time limit. And, like, if you, you know... I guess the point is to kill everybody and be the last team standing. And I guess once you get into to overtime, once you go down, you can't be revived by your teammate. My problem with it, what really turned me off, is that much like raids, there is no matchmaking for this mode at all.
Oh, what?
Nope.
Oh my god, these guys are something else, man.
You need a team to play in this. Like,
at this point, I know I have quite a few hardcore Destiny players, so I could probably pull 3 people off, but...
Right.
Oh man.
Like that really, really made me sad.
That's
This nice. Actually sounds like a really cool mode, but you're locking it out to like people who solo. So I'm hoping there's another announcement this coming week.
That they're going to change that and make matchmaking?
No, it's about a different it's about a different mode. And I'm hoping that this is supposed to be the firefight type mode, the horde type mode, that they announce next week. And I'm hoping that they don't be like, yeah, it's a four-person team and you need to bring your team
no
with
matchmaking.
You. Like, if they did that, I'm out. Like,
I'm done. Yep.
Yeah. It's like,
I don't know if I could pull four people off on that.
They got,
I don't know.
I'm hoping that they don't do that. I'm hoping they say that there will be matchmaking for whatever this firefight mode is. Because if they say that, like, I don't have any real reason to go back to that game. So, there's that. Destiny, more Destiny's coming.
Call of Duty.
Call of Duty. Did you guys see the trailer?
Looks good to me.
The reveal trailer. Yeah, it looks like Titanfall.
Yeah, known that.
More like Titanfall than Advanced Warfighter did.
Everything should be kind of like Titanfall, to be honest. Yeah. I'm not hating that.
It looks fun. It looks like a lot of fun though. Very fast. Four player co-op campaign.
Down with that.
Which that sounds fun because I don't believe you've ever been able to do that before. A full zombie campaign, which also sounds kind of fun. And the multiplayer looks like, you know, they're keeping with the verticality that Advanced Warfare had, but the mobility looks even faster than it did last year. So, Call of Duty looks like Black Ops 3 looks kind of fun.
So it's going to be futuristic again, I guess, huh?
Yeah, well, I mean, Black Ops 2 was already futuristic as it was. Like, they were already moving that direction.
Yeah.
Black Ops 3 takes place even further down the line. I don't know, you didn't like Advanced Warfare? Or?
I don't know. I don't like futuristic settings, I guess. I don't know. I prefer, like, real world, like modern combat, you know? Or I'd take World War II combat over some futuristic combat. I don't know. I guess one or two games a year is okay, but, you know, last year was, I guess, only two games?
Titanfall and Advanced Warfare, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know, is there anything else this year? Like,
I don't think so.
Yeah,
I guess not.
Might be the only one, so...
We don't have a Battlefield yet, so it'll probably be Battlefield... Battlefront.
Battlefront this year.
Star Wars-y is kind of futuristic, right?
Half
not really.
Half and half.
Half and half, yeah.
It's not really anything. It's fantasy.
Yeah.
With TIE Fighters. Come on, that'll be fun. You're going to get Battlefront,
It
right?
will be fun. I'm going to get Battlefront, yeah. Of course.
I don't know. So Don is not excited for Call of Duty. Fozzie... Hey. Call of Duty looks good to you?
Yeah.
I get it. Dude, Rainbow Six Siege is coming out this year. That's it for me. If it comes out this year.
Yeah. That's a big if. Tony, did you see Call of Duty's trailer? Did we lose Tony? I think we might have lost Tony.
Tone Dizzle.
Ah.
Oh, well. Yeah. So we're getting really close to E3, though, so... The leaks are going to start coming. I'm ready. Because they need to start announcing some stuff. Because when I look at the first third of this year that we're now through, and my favorite game is a 2.5D side-scroller that's like the 22nd entry in the Assassin's Creed series. It's been a weird year. But anyway, I believe that's it. Fozzie, do you have any special wishes you need to send out?
Yes, I promise things to people. Do so things real quick.
let's do it. Let's get our promises
let's
out
see.
Of the way.
Jushin, favorite memory. We have met together, I'm sure that we've drank before. My favorite memory with Yushin would be just his overall positive attitude in general. I think it comes with being a Canadian, is you're just very positive in general. So, Zaha, good for you.
He is quite positive.
Trent Steen, a.k.a. Secret Tone, a.k.a. Snake and Banana. Hell, Psyduck and Banana. My favorite memory is I've never seen him in my life. I don't know what you look like. You have been Secret Tunnel for... How long have we known him for? Like 5 or 6
years? Oh, God. Days. Back from the IGN days.
Yeah, the blog days, like 2009 days. It's a long time. I don't know what you look like, but... I'm proud of you. You're making a great game right now.
It's coming out on Wii U soon, isn't it?
Yeah, it's going to be on the Wii Shop, so I'll see you, man. Yeah, so good on you. There you go.
All right. Well, Fozzie has fulfilled his promises.
I have.
Jeff is dead, so this is in memory of him.
Riveterge.
We
Tony fell asleep during Destiny talk.
Is that Tony?
Wait. I'm back. There he is. All right. I had to run off and take care of a small child.
Yes, I thought I heard something.
Small children do sometimes need taken care of.
They do.
We'll be back next week. Yeah. I'm going to go see Age of Ultron this weekend.
I'm going to see that tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow morning, that I hate you. Although your morning is really like my afternoon, so
yeah, we're sure.
Probably gonna see it around the same time.
You can probably look it like that.
Yeah, I'm gonna take my son to see it. So
I'm trying to miss that. I'm trying to miss all the kids.
So. Yeah, we could the theater I now choose to go to. They have assigned seats, so you choose your seat. So make sure.
I mean, that's nice.
Yeah, and they're nice, big seats, and they recline, all leather.
Oh,
nice,
fancy.
How much is a ticket to that place? $50?
No, it's tickets are for the 550 show, which I'm going to. It was 13 for adults, 10.50 for kids.
Oh, that's not bad.
No,
it's not bad at all.
And if I had gone before 5, I think they're like $8.50 a piece. So
yeah, that's not bad at all.
Just I wasn't taking off work to go see the Avengers.
What?
Star Wars, yes. The Avengers, no.
How dare you?
How dare me? Don keeps disappointing me by sending shitty screenings, and Star Wars
every
is not
week.
On it ever. But
yeah, he every single week he emails me, Don, this is unacceptable. Tell them to fix it. Sorry, Chris, I can't do that.
Yeah,
no, and
that's
listen
to you. Oh well,
every week.
Oh well. One time you're finally gonna be like it's gonna come around, you know, right after Thanksgiving. You'd be like, there you go, finally got
yeah,
it taken
right?
care of.
Actually, that's gonna be the one week I forget to send it to
yeah,
you.
Yeah, like, God damn you.
Oh God, I'd pretty much I could see it now. I'd get banned.
You just like never send it out.
Go to log into my email. Your password is invalid. Your account is invalid.
Tony's like, where's Don at? We're doing a Game of the Year discussions.
What,
oh, Don who?
Who? Who? Yeah.
Be
bad.
What's crazy is the day we're probably going to do Game of the Year discussions is the day before Star Wars.
Nice.
Yeah, so that'll be fun. Anyway, we'll be back next week. For episode 251, maybe with a reanimated Jeff.
Maybe.
Or
we'll have to have that one in his honor, too.
Yeah. He has a... Maybe he's joined your necromancy army.
It's possible.
I hope not. But
Don't drink from the pool of life, Jeff. Misnamed.
It's a bad thing. It sounds good, but it's bad. All right, Fozzie, say goodnight.
Yeah. Rivenergy.
Okay. Good night.